Well, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had to wait for something? This morning, I was waiting to go to church, and my husband, he tried on like 4 different outfits before he went to church. And you know, that head of hair takes a bit of, And in the morning, you know, when I'd got to take the kids to the bus stop, man, if I have to wait for them, I'm just sitting there like, and then if it's just that 1 second over, the hand goes on the horn. It's like, get in the car. So waiting is not a strong point of mine, but, well, we don't like to wait, do we? There's always something in our lives that we're a bit impatient for. We're wanting something. We're desperate for something that we need now, and we can't wait. We're not patient. And I believe at some point in our lives, we all have a place where we come to where we really need to have faith and believe for something for that next step, for our future of what we're believing for. And waiting isn't just something that's passive. It's not just something that you're just sitting there waiting. There's actually some keys that you need to do while you're waiting. So it's actually an action. So tonight I want to share my testimony. I'm not really going to do a big preach or anything, but I want to share a testimony about some faith that I needed to have when I had some painful years in my life. And so I just wanted to talk about that tonight. So after about 3 years, after our first son was born, we decided to expand our family and carry on. And we expected it to happen straight away, but it didn't. And so we decided, we were in Auckland at the time, we decided to move back to Tauranga. We wanted to be close to family and friends, and we wanted to get on with our journey of expanding our family. And so I stopped working, and I decided I was going to wait. But after 2 years of waiting, I decided that this wasn't going to be happening on its own. So I referred myself to a specialist, and he did the routine tests, and yes, everything was fine, it's all good, just go home and you can just sort it out on your own. He wasn't very compassionate at all. 6 months later, still no baby. So during this time, I was getting rather impatient. So I went back to the specialist, and I insisted on a bit more help. So he put me onto a fertility drug. And 4 months later, I was finally pregnant. And by this time, our son was 5, and he was going to school. So it didn't really seem real for me, but I was excited, and I was thankful, and I was, you know, this has finally happened for us. And so I went and told everybody, you know. There's a usual traditional 3-month period that everybody waits, and they're keeping it quiet and under the belt. But this, you know, I was going to let everybody know straight away because I was really excited. And so we did that, and then in October, which was just the day after my son's 6th birthday, and I was 9 weeks pregnant, I was teaching in the classroom, and I was sitting there in front of the kids that are on the mat, and they were getting ready to be released to go to lunch, and I was sitting there, and I just had this incredible pain, this backache and stomachache, and I was just put my head between my knees. I was feeling so dizzy, so I was just sitting there, and I was just counting down the seconds for that bell to ring so I could get out of there and go home. So I went home. I thought nothing about it. I thought, okay, yep, I'm fine now. It's all good. But it was the next month before I really realised that there was something wrong. I didn't really want to have to admit it. So I made an appointment for a scan. And I went away, ended up going to the doctor, and I went and saw the screen, the monitor where they, you know, bring up the picture of the baby. And I could see this baby there, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. And so I started relaxing. I was like, wow, this is awesome, you know, it's all good. I relaxed myself, and I fooled myself into thinking that it was all fine. And so after lots of poking and prodding and quite a long time, she finally turned off the monitor, and she looked at me and she said, I'm really sorry, but I can't find a heartbeat. So I'm lying there. Jared wasn't with me at the time, and I was just like numb. I was speechless. I just couldn't feel anything. I was just, my brain was actually screaming inside my head, but I sort of felt numb. It was a real weird experience where you've got these two feelings at the same time, and I'm like, God, why? Why, God, why? And I was just waiting for the lady to walk out of the room. She went out for a little bit, and then I just like cried. I was holding back my tears as much as I could until I could start to process what was actually happening in my head. And then so she left the room, and I just felt absolutely sick to my stomach. I was just like, just, and it was probably one of the worst points of time in my life that far. Like I hadn't really been through any major experiences that I could talk of, but this was one of those moments. And so they sent me home and they told me to go home and wait for the hospital to phone me, and then they'd call me up to come in for an appointment and you know, deal with me and sort me out. But during this time, my mind was just rushing. It was just trying to figure out, what had I done? What have I done that's wrong? Why has this happened to me? Maybe it was because of this or that. Like, we were planning on moving to Australia. So we'd been packing up, ready to move. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe it was because I was packing. Maybe it's the stress of all this working. And maybe I'm being punished. Maybe God's punishing me. Like, what could have I done differently to stop this from happening? And so the enemy started lying to me in my mind. He started telling me these lies of things that I had done, or that there were situations that I'd caused this. So the enemy really tried to have a go at me, and I just was being bombarded by these thoughts. Finally, a phone call came. I had to chase them up. And 6 days after I'd been in for my scan, they called me up to go in for my operation. But by this time, it had actually been over a month since my baby had died inside me. So I was just like furious. I was angry. I was like, how could they let this go on for so long? This is just stupid. Like, so I went in for my operation. And before I even came to, I started crying. Like, I didn't even know what was going on around about me. I wasn't even aware. But I just woke up and I was crying. And once I finally realized that it was all over, I just felt so hollow and so empty. And I was just a mess. And then they sent me on my way after 1 hour. I'm like, really? I need a bit more time to face the world than 1 hour. But after I was sent home. And so I got home, and I was lying on my bed during a bit of recovery, and I was feeling so dark and so depressed, and I was just crying all the time. As Shannon was saying, you know, she's you get into this place where you're just crying and you just don't know what else to do. And so I found myself, and I was just searching and crying out to God, and I was trying to understand the unfairness of it all. Like, why? I don't understand. This is really unfair. And I really got to a point where I was just lying there, and I spent some time with God, and then I really felt like he started to speak to me, and he dropped a promise into my spirit, and I've never had this experience before, so it was something really special to me. And like, he came and he dropped this promise into my spirit, and in the process of me praying and in the process of me grieving, I felt this peace that surpasses all understanding, and I finally understood what that scripture actually meant. It says in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And that's what I felt. I'd never experienced that before in my life, this peace amidst the circumstance. And to know that you've experienced that, I don't know, it's something that just changed my life from that time, from that point on, a peace amongst the circumstances. So I shut my eyes and I just kept praying, you know, God, got this peace, yep. But then God gave me a vision. And so he gave me this vision of my completed family. We're all sitting around the dinner table. We're laughing and chatting, and got my family there. And I was looking around at them all, and I was really happy and proud. And, you know, this is my family. And later that day, I started reading the Bible, and he gave me this scripture. And I was just so amazed at how good God is, at how he lines things up to really encourage us when we're in a moment where we really need that encouragement to our soul. And he gave me this scripture. It's in Isaiah 60. And it says, we've got it on this PowerPoint if you want to put that up. It says, "Get out of bed." You know, here I am lying in bed, miserable. "Wake up, put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. Look up, look around, watch as they gather, watch as they approach you. Your sun's coming from great distances, your daughters in the father's arms. When you see them coming, you'll smile, big smiles, and you'll look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy, all those returning for the reunion. And this was just like a picture of what I'd seen, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like sometimes you get a scripture and yeah, it lines up with something else, but this was like a clear vision and then a scripture that lined up with it, and it really did my soul well. It did my soul good. And so this gift of faith that God gave me during this time, it was an assurance of the answer to my prayer even before I'd seen it with my natural eyes. And it was believing that I had the answer when I prayed. So I wasn't just hoping, I wasn't just wanting it or expecting it to happen. I was actually believing that it would happen. It was something that God had given me. It was like a promise. He dropped the promise into my spirit. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So I was certain that I had a promise from God and that it was going to be fulfilled. And so I think sometimes we get to a place where our faith needs to step into the next level, but it only gets there when we've got no other option other than God. So we get to this place and we're like, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to run to God or am I going to run away from God? And so we get to this place and we're like, wow, what am I going to do? And so my natural tendency was to run to God. And so I had this faith and I had an ability to see what was there in the supernatural realm, what actually wasn't there in the physical realm. And so I decided that I was going to trust God in his way and in his time. And so I had to put my hope in him and what he said. So I found myself in this place and I'm searching the scriptures, trying to get encouragement, and my faith is wavering and I'm like, I've got nowhere else to go but to my knees. This is I don't understand how those who don't know Jesus don't they've got nowhere to go, and so they must struggle so much. And I was thinking, man, God, if I didn't have you, I just would be a worse mess than what I am now. I'm always already a mess, but I'll be worse. But I was searching the scriptures for hope and peace and for a promise, and then I felt like God was saying to me that he was going to use me and my story, and he was going to use it. And it's not just about miscarriage. This story is about believing for something that God's promised us. And so if you're struggling to have faith, this is a testimony of God's goodness for that. So during this desperate time, I felt like God was saying to me that your journey's not over yet, and you need to get a journal out and you need to start writing down some things and start journaling the things that I speak to you about. So I went back onto fertility tablets, and then it was like every period was like a miscarriage again. It's really hard to explain. It's like another loss, another dream that was gone, another reminder that I'd failed again. Like, God, how long do I have to wait? You know, when do we stop trying? When does this finish? And my mind is screaming at me at the same time, don't give up. Don't get your hopes up. This isn't going to happen for you, you know. So you got one thing in one mind and then another mind, you got this different contrary thing screaming at you. And so I've got a few journal entries that I want to share tonight of what I'd written in my journal. So it came to December. This is prior to us moving. And so I've got my first journal entry. And it says, "I can't stop giving up hope, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. I feel my hope slowly slipping away. Even though I have a peace and a real sense of faith in what you, God, are doing, it is a daily battle to control the thoughts that invade my mind." And so the enemy was just kept telling me these things, but God just kept reassuring me to write down the things that he tells me. And so in December, we finally moved as planned. Time for a fresh start. We went there and we saw a new specialist and decided that, you know, we'd move on and try again. And after a few months, we talked to him and things weren't working again. So he gave us two options, artificial insemination or IVF. And so we thought, okay, we'll try the artificial insemination for a while. That wasn't working. I was getting more and more impatient. I was thinking of all the months that we were wasting. And then we finally came to the point that had never, ever crossed our minds, and that was to go down the track of IVF. And so the journey began. That was a full-on journey. So I spent day after day on my knees. And I was just like, God, I need your help through this. Because this desire was consuming me. It was overtaking every part of my mind where I was like so desperate. And everywhere I looked, there was another pregnant woman, there was another baby, there was a... And I was like, oh, when you want something really badly, you actually see a lot of it around about you. They may not have... It's no different than what would have been there, but it just feels like it's there. And it was just consuming my mind. It was plaguing me. And so I was praying to God. I was like, God, if this isn't your will, I really want you to take it from me. I don't want this desire. I don't want these thoughts. And then he gave me another scripture, Hebrews 11:11, and he told me to put my name in there. By faith, barren Rachel was able to become pregnant because she believed the one who made the promise and that he would do what he said. And then I'd be, okay, God. And then he'd give me another scripture, Romans 4:17. Rachel became a mother because she dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life and with the word make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Rachel believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what she couldn't do, but what on God said he would do. Rachel didn't focus on her infertility and say it's hopeless and give up. She plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. And so, like, God just kept giving me these scriptures. So I'm like, okay, my mind's going, maybe you're just wanting to read these scriptures and just getting what you want out of the scripture, and, you know. But I just felt like God kept saying to me, you know, these scriptures are for you. Put your name in it, claim it. You know, maybe this could be for your situation. It could be, you know... I don't even want to give an example, but so-and-so didn't focus on such-and-such and say it's hopeless and give up. Put your name in there. Think about your situation and go, I'm going to plunge into the promise. I'm going to come up strong because God said it, so he's going to be good. He's a good God and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. So the process began, all the needles and injections and all the drama, and I was just crying. I was such an emotional wreck. And at the end of the month, under general anesthetic, I went in for my operation and they took out 11 eggs. They retrieved 11 eggs. And out of those 11 eggs, 8 of them were fertilized to healthy embryos, which was a really successful outcome for IVF. And so a couple of days after the operation, I went back in and they returned 2 eggs into my womb. And the rest of them were frozen for future use. And so they give me this photo of the eggs, and I'd take this photo and I'd pray over it, and I'd pray over it, and I'd pray over it, because you've got to wait 2 weeks, you know, till you get your test and find out the result and all the rest. And so my first treatment didn't work, and so I decided that I was going to stop praying, I was going to stop begging God, I was going to stop asking for an answer, and I started to shut down emotionally. And I really thought that God would give me that same peace that I had the first time round, but I just didn't have it. And I just felt so empty, and I was having to wait another 2 months before I could even go back in for another process. And I had to let my body heal, but my mind and my emotions and my heart, they just weren't healing. They were just getting more and more depressed, and my mind was just not happy. And more time was just slipping by, more and more time, more and more time. You know, every month is another month that's wasted in my mind. So finally the second month came round, and went in for my second treatment. I had another 2 embryos thawed and transferred, waited the 2 agonising weeks until my next blood test, wrapped myself in cotton wool. You know, we're living on the Gold Coast, the sun's shining, the beach is calling. I was stayed in bed the whole time. There was no swimming, there was no exercise, there was no doing anything. I was putting myself on bed rest. And so finally, 15 months after beginning treatment in Australia, it had worked, and I was pregnant, and I'd been keeping track in my journal, so I knew everything. So I wasn't telling anyone about this. I wasn't getting excited. I wasn't planning ahead, and there's no way that I was going to be disappointed again. And as my mind kept plaguing me, the seeds of doubt that were planted from past experience and planted from early on, they just kept coming at me. And so I buried my emotions, and I wanted to bury my fears, but they actually came true. My fears came true. And so when I went for my 7-week scan, I had two empty sacs. So I had twins, but they'd stopped growing. And so I was just absolutely devastated, and I just felt deserted. I felt angry, hurt, and like, God, you made a promise to me and now you've taken it away again? Like, I just couldn't understand. I was like, why, God? And so my spirit was just absolutely broken. It just didn't seem fair. And here I am hearing of another person who got pregnant and another person, and I'm like, there's unwanted pregnancies, and why would you give them a baby when, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And so here's my next journal entry. God, I feel like you've deserted me. I feel so empty and hollow and alone. You made a promise. I've been faith-filled through so many difficult circumstances and have believed that you are a God who fulfills his promises. But now I feel like you've ripped out a part of me. I know that you're in control of everything and everything in your timing, but I feel so cheated. You gave me a promise, you gave me hope, and then you've taken it away again. Why? And you know what? God's not offended when we ask him these questions. Like, we can come to God with our feelings, our thoughts, our anger, our despair, and we can cry out with our frustration and our hurt. And he's not going to walk away from us because we get angry or upset or question. So it took me over a month before I was ready to come back and get serious and deal with my grief, because I was just so upset. And so I spent a night soul searching, and I was calling out to God, and I felt like God told me to get up, go out to the lounge, and he gave me another scripture, Lamentations 3:19, and this totally described what I was going through. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, well, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. God proves to be good to the man who patiently waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through the hard times. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, wait for hope to appear. So here we go again, another two embryos were thawed. But the next morning, the scientist rang me and said neither one of them had survived the thawing process. So there's a big, big story of how you do all the IVF treatment and all the rest, but these eggs didn't survive. And so I started to have a panic attack because, you know, there's certain, your body has to be ready at a certain time. You have to go in for the certain procedure and all the drama that goes with it. So I started freaking out because, you know, it was time to go into the doctor and get this sorted, but these embryos didn't live. So I had my last chance, and so I had two embryos left, and I thought, okay, we'll defrost the last two, and then that's it. I am giving up. I'm not dealing with it anymore. So both of these embryos, they thawed, divided, and they survived. And so we went ahead with my final chance. I've actually got a little photo just to gross you out. So I prayed over these photos. These photos were life to me. I took these, this photo, and I prayed over it, and I prayed over it because that was life. So my journal, 15th of October, my son's 8th birthday. All this happened around my son's birthday. 2 more days till the test. My mind is starting to waver again. I've got a sore back and a headache. Next journal entry. Next day, oh no, I'm spotting fear, panic, what do I do now, God? You promised. Am I reading into the scriptures what I want to hear? Please take this dream from me. If it's not from you, God, take it from me. I release it. I give up my dreams and my desire to do what you want of me. Got a card in the mail today from Eleanor with the scripture in it. Another promise. Micah 7:7-8. God, I will look to you. Confident in you, I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation. I know that you will hear me. And when I fall, I will arise. And when I sit in darkness, you will be a light to me. It's like God's so good. He gives us these promises to just keep you going. He says the right thing at the right time just to keep encouraging you. So that night, I couldn't sleep. my mind is saying, oh, it's all over. But I was like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to believe the promises you've given me. And so I kept the lights off and it was really dark and I just started crying. I was just at a place where I just need to let it all go. So I'm just sitting there and I'm crying. There's tears are streaming down my face and I felt drawn to put on some worship music. So I put that on and I listened to the CD and I lay there in the dark and just let the Holy Spirit minister to me. I felt just so tired and so weary and I just needed a refreshment. And then I remembered the story in Mark 5 about the woman with the issue of blood. And she was so desperate for a miracle. And so she went against all the custom, all the rules. She wasn't even supposed to be around people, but she went into this crowded place and she pushed through and she wanted to get close to Jesus because she knew that if she touched Jesus, that she would be healed. And so I was remembering this story and I was replaying it in my mind. And Jesus said to the woman, "Who touched me?" And amongst all the people that were around about him, he noticed that there was an energy that had gone from him because someone had touched him and they'd believed in faith. And so he turned to them, to the woman, and said, "Your faith has healed you," once he realized who it was. And so I thought, I'm going to put myself in that position. I am so desperate for God. I'm so desperate for a touch from God that I'm going to reach out. And so I fell to my knees in the dark, and it was just a Holy Spirit moment that God was there so tangibly. And I fell to my knees, and I reached my hand out, and I could just see Jesus' feet walking along in front of me. And I just reached my hand out, and I'm just like, I just need one touch. I just need a brush of my hand against the hem of his garment, and I will be healed. I believe that he will be there. And so I knelt there, and I was like, God, I need you and I need your healing power. So I reached my hand out and I touched the hem of his garment and I felt like he came down and he reached down and he touched me and my unborn babies. And I felt the presence of God so strongly. He came and ministered to me and I was so weary, but he was there and he just touched me and I was just sobbing and worshipping and praying and the peace came. That peace came and just soothed my weary soul. So the next day, I had the pregnancy blood test. So my journal, pregnancy blood test today. I feel a peace. God is in control. He knows what is best for me. I will trust him. So can you see a pattern in my journal writing? You know, you get this scripture. If you write it down, you just keep getting these promises that God keeps giving you. And then when you read back over them, they are a real encouragement to your soul. And so the phone call came at lunchtime. I didn't really want to hear the answer. I wasn't really sure what it was going to be. But yes, I was finally pregnant. And I will not live in fear. I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to be positive. But a week later, I started spotting again. Journal, 24th of October. What is happening, God? I rang the doctor again and he told me to come in for another blood test. Jared's in New Zealand just when I need him the most. I feel so alone. God, I don't understand. You wouldn't take another child from me, would you? Not again. I can't help but think the worst, especially after the last two ending a miscarriage. This is the end for us. I know it. If it doesn't happen this time, then I have to give it up. I have to give up this dream. I can't put myself and my family through this. The torture, the heartbreak, the disappointment is ongoing. My scripture for today, Isaiah 49:23. They shall not be put to shame who wait for, look for, hope for, and expect me. It was like, God, I'm pouring out my heart here, and then he'd give me something back. It was just something so amazing. Next journal entry. What's happening to me? I had a fainting spell and felt queasy. I went for more blood tests. They rang to say I had good results. I don't know how much more character building I can take. I'm emotionally exhausted. Today's scripture. Isaiah 30:18. The Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. Therefore, he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show you loving kindness, for the Lord is a God of justice. O people who dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And that was the last day that I wept, because my journey hadn't finished, but it was the last day that I had wept like that. And so the roller coaster of emotions, my mind kept thinking one thing, thinking the worst, but I kept pressing into God and he kept speaking to me and he kept saying, giving me new scriptures. And so there's three things that you can do when you're waiting. You can wait quietly. Psalm 62:5 says, I will wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. You can wait patiently. Psalm 37:7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. And then wait expectantly. Psalm 105:5, I wait expectantly, trusting God for help, for he has promised. And so I just keep saying, God, you promised. I'm holding you to your promise. God can't lie. So if he's given us a promise, then we need to hold on to it. So I went for my 5-week scan. And as I sat in the waiting room, this woman came out of the office. She had on dark sunglasses, tissue in her hand, head down, and she walked straight for the door. And I was like, that's going to be you in a few minutes. So my mind just kept having a go at me. Finally, my name was called. Went into the doctor, and there, alive, a heartbeat, this tiny grain of rice, three millimetres long. You know, what a miracle life is. 3 millimetres, and there's a heartbeat. Like, the technology that they had was amazing that you could even see this. And so I was just so relieved. I was just like, oh. And I thought, okay, yep, he's going to switch it off, and I can carry on, and yay, good news. But he thought, okay, I better have another look, because we returned 2 eggs, so he went and had a look, and yes, there was baby number 2 hiding away. So here's the next photo. This is 1 of 2 weeks later of when I'm 7 weeks and they're 11 millimetres long. Aren't they beautiful? Now to face the long months ahead. I wrapped myself back in cotton wool and I stayed in bed again. I wasn't going to buy maternity clothes. I wasn't buying baby things. I was still really guarded and I wanted to protect my heart because I didn't want to, you know, go through that pain again. And I actually found it really hard to bond with these new babies because I didn't really expect them to hang around that long. So I remained neutral and I thought that it'd just be a matter of time before, you know, this is over again. But each scan, my hope grew stronger and stronger because I just had that peace and I just felt like God just kept doing what I needed at that period, at that point in time. He did what I needed to get me through. And so finally, I breathed a sigh of relief after hitting the 16-week, 4-month mark. You know, I didn't wait the 3-month traditional this time. I was going further. I was waiting 4 months. So I was really cautious and I wasn't going to let my guard down. So we cautiously shared our good news after 4 months. And so here's the next photo. Aren't they awesome? The whole pregnancy, I just pretty much lay around in bed. I was trying to do as little as possible, not that I had any energy anyway, but I was just bedridden. I was like sent to hospital for morning sickness. It was just horrid. So my prayer changed from, God, I don't want to be sick anymore. So as the thought of having 2 babies finally sunk in, the challenge that lay ahead was a bit daunting because, you know, my mind was so fixated on one thing, but I actually wasn't really focusing on the aftermath of what was actually going to happen after that. So as the months went by, I approached my 7th month and started having more dramas, high blood pressure, all the symptoms of concern. And so I ended up going to hospital and I'd turn into weekly visits to the hospital. And then every time I go to the hospital, I'd have to have a blood test. And then the blood test would tell me that I have to go back to hospital. And then I'd stay there the weekend. They'd send me home. Then I'd go back in for my next appointment, have another blood test, send me back to hospital. And this went on for like over a month, which I was just in and out, in and out, in and out of hospital. It was so stressful on the family, you know. It was a bit of out of routine sort of lifestyle, and I was just an emotional mess by then as well. And so after my 5th visit, I finally got sent home again, and the next day my waters broke and I was just shy of 36 weeks, which was a very good timing for having twins. And so they organised an emergency cesarean, and this was finally it. Yay! Alyssa Grace, 5 pounds 14, born at 6:55. Benjamin James, 5 pounds 6, born at 6:56. 1 minute later, she's the older sister. Believe me. Hebrews 10:25. For he who promised is faithful. He can be trusted to keep his promises. And there's a whole lot more to the story, but jumping ahead, you know, finally my promises came home and our lives completely changed forever. And I just look back and I think, what did I learn during that period of time? so much. And I wouldn't even change it if I could. I know that God took me through that journey for a reason. And so I felt like God was saying to me, sometimes we've got to get so desperate. We have to look at our circumstances, and sometimes they make our circumstances make us so desperate that we have to reach out to Him. And so God was teaching me that. He taught me that He honors faith, no matter how small, no matter how wavering, He honors our faith, and that Jesus has compassion on those who have needs, and that He's approachable in every situation, doesn't matter what it is. So tonight, I just want to ask you a question. You know, what's your issue? What's your problem? What's your need? What are you waiting for? What are you saying to God why about? You don't know why it's happening. And so tonight I just want to make an opportunity for us to respond to Him. And so we're just going to stand tonight, and I want to pray for us. And we're going to sing the worship song, Lift Him Up. Because in our circumstances, that's what we need to do. We need to lift Him up above what's happening, because that is what gets us through. So let's stand. I want you to think tonight, what lies are the enemy putting into your mind to try and make you doubt the promise that He's given you? Put yourself in my situation. You know, obviously you've got a different story, but you need to put yourself there and think, God, I need to be healed. I need a touch from You. I need to be made whole. And how desperate are you to get that? Are you willing to reach your hand out and touch the hem of His garment? Because that's what it's going to take. He sees the big picture. And you know, the wait was worth it. And He's at work even when we can't see it. One day is as 1,000 years to Him, and 1,000 years is as a day. His timing is completely opposite to ours. So let's sing this song tonight. And if you've got something that you're hoping for, maybe you're wavering in patience, maybe you need more hope, maybe you need an answer because you don't know if God's actually hearing your prayer, or if He sees you, or if He even cares, or maybe you just need to have a bit more trust for His timing, knowing that He works all things perfect in His timing. So if there's anything tonight that you feel like you need to come and you want to put yourself on the altar and you want to say, God, come, touch my situation, you come and join us tonight and we'll sing this song, Lift Him Up. We're going to lift Him up despite our circumstances and believe for faith.